Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Instacart makes grocery shopping easier. And just because you're not doing the shopping yourself doesn't mean you don't care how it's done. With Instacart Shopper Notes, you can get particular about what you want right in the app. Like rotisserie chicken that's extra crispy, cheddar that's sharp as your skates, and lettuce you'd actually pick yourself. Just leave a note for your shopper so they can get it right for you without having to ask. That way, you can get groceries just how you like. Download the Instacart app and shop today.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
One and oh, Strom's pitch swung on, line hard toward short, diving stop. Turner, he feeds second. There's one. Throw to first. Is he time? And the best double play the Phillies have turned all season just happened. A remarkable diving stop by Turner on a rocket by Albies, and the Phillies get out of the eighth.
Yo, it is a High Hopes edition of Final Out. It was a remarkable play, a remarkable moment as Jack Fritz, the Phillies took game one. They let us take game one, buddy. What a play. What a night. We'll get into it all. Ranger, the aggressive managing from Rob Thompson, the Bryce Harper home run, the Trey Turner play. Let's go, Fritzy!
Truist Park is tight! Tight all night long. What an embarrassing crowd. What a freaking embarrassing waste of space town Atlanta is. Holy cow. I've never seen a bigger joke of a playoff crowd in my entire freaking life. That shit, they should move the team. They should move the team. That was a sickening performance by the Braves fans. But you know what happened, James? You want to know exactly what happened? Is that the Phillies went down there. They took care of business. And you know what's the craziest part about the current state of the Philadelphia Phillies is that that team is a bunch of damn winners. They are a bunch of winners while the Braves look scared and tight all night long. What a night down at Truist Park.
Yeah, man. I mean, the team just went down there and handled business going up against the best offense of all time. Like, but literally, statistically, potentially the best offense of all time. A team that had yet to been shut out in their home park this season until tonight. And Rob Thompson, with the bullpen, you know, aggressive strategy coming into this game, saying, I am winning this game tonight. I'm managing to win. And he was getting destroyed in the moment on Twitter, on social media, all that stuff. And he clearly had a plan, man. He came in saying, I got Zach Wheeler going on Monday. I got a rested bullpen. I got a day off here. I got another day off after Wheeler. And then I got Nola. Like, I was so impressed with the way not just the Phillies played tonight, but the way Rob Thompson and the team's mentality was tonight, Jack. Coming in, like, not just saying, oh, we just got to win one or two. They're like, we're winning tonight, and we'll figure it out from there. That was awesome.
It was. And believe me, I was one of those people that was definitely like, this is pretty aggressive. But to my credit, and I'm usually not one to not react in the moment. I'm usually a very... you know, react at all times.
Yes,
kind of
you are. Yes, you know, are.
The emotions on my sleeve. I had multiple tweets out about how this is like way too early for this kind of move. And all he did all night was just say, nah, I trust my guys. And I think that's the biggest thing and the most important thing that Rob Thompson has with this team is that he just trusts these guys so much. Like, dude, we'll talk about all the moves he made. He trusted
Orion Kirkering
in the seventh inning in a close, tight NLDS game and had the stones to put him back out there in the following inning, but also had the wherewithal to say, okay, let's get him out of there. Like, he was so on top of everything tonight. And I'm so surprised. I really am. Like, I'm surprised that the lack of critical thinking, I believe it is, with the whole Ranger thing. Like, Ranger's really good. You also have a full bullpen with a chance to, like, match your way through this thing with your ace on the mound in game two. Like, Ranger was great tonight. But there was such advantages that the Phillies gained by being able to mix and match their way through this thing to where, like, Rob Thompson... Like the people that keep doubting or questioning this guy's good at his job, I mean, he's consistently thinking a couple steps ahead. I mean, tonight reminded me so much of game one in Houston.
Totally, of the World Series, yep.
Where it's just like, bang, move here, move here, move here. All night long, having the right feel for guys, knowing what guys can trust in what spot. I mean, I don't know if this makes sense to you, James, and I don't know if this makes sense to our listeners out there. I mean, that was the most stressful, stress-free game of my entire life.
It's a great way to put it, man. Honestly, I felt the same way. Like, throughout the whole game, I'm like, we got this, we got this, we got this. And yet I was like dying as I was watching it. Really. And like, going back to your point about Topper, though, like, I do think that there's even like so much more to it. Like, it wasn't just that he had Wheeler coming up after a day off with a rested bullpen, and again, a day off, and then Nola after that with another day off. But he also, like, it's Ranger going up against through the lineup for a second time and potentially a third after that. A Braves lineup that has been so much better the more they see a pitcher throughout. A lefty soft tosser, which is something the Braves have killed all season. The stat came out, or we saw the stat before the game, about how the Braves have really struggled against 97-plus mile-per-hour fastballs. Like, their slugging percentage was something like 500 or lower against it, and it was much higher against everything else, obviously. Like, there were so many reasons that Topper's strategy tonight made sense, and I'm so impressed, man, going in against, and again, to the Kirkering thing, like, to your point, not just trusting a kid in a big spot. He trusted a kid who started the year in low A, who has had like three appearances in the major leagues, one of which was in the playoffs already, and he trusted them in the seventh inning of a 2-0 game on the road against the best offense of all time, Jack. Like, that is as outside the box as you're going to get, and everything he did work tonight. It was a masterclass in managing. And look, the players executed. You know, credit where due. They should have won by more, Jack. I mean, they left runners on base all night. But big plays were made. Obviously, the Harper homer, the Trey play, like, they came through when it mattered, and the pitching in the bullpen was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, tonight's all about the players, but like, The manager also set these guys up for the advantageous kind of situation for them to come into. I mean, we talk about Sir Anthony, and he was a guy who's been kind of questioned all year long. Can he be that guy again? And in a tight spot, he brought him in. Bang, he was fine. Jeff Hoffman, that was such an early spot for Jeff Hoffman. It was the fourth inning. Rangers pitching pretty well. But you know what he did is that he said, this is an important time in this game. Let me go get one of my best righties on these guys.
And well, especially with Ozuna, who crushes left-handed pitching, you know?
Yeah. Rob Thompson is, like, when you watch him and you start trying to think along with him and see where he's kind of going here, I mean, it just puts it all into focus. Like, sure, sometimes pitchers will let him down and they won't come out and they won't do a job. But a majority of the time, his decisions make logical sense. And the fact that he just navigated the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th against a Braves lineup who, again, like you said at the beginning of this whole show, they had not been shut out at home for an entire season. And he just went out there and with 5 1/3 of a bullpen that people seemingly don't really trust, pitched the first shutout of the season. I mean, that is difference-making managing. And that's what Rob Thompson has brought to this team more often than not.
215-592-9494, Jack Fritz, James Seltzer, High Hopes Radio, reacting on a special edition final out to the Phillies, taking game one in Atlanta, a 1-0 lead and a best of five with two games at home still, and Zach Wheeler on the hill in game two in good spot. All right, we're coming to the phones in a minute. I want to get to two other things quickly, Jack. One is Bryce Harper.
What happened? What happened?
Bryce, so our buddy Shio Kapadia puts this stat out, this tweet out. Bryce Harper in 5 postseason games against the Braves the last 2 seasons, 10-for-18 with 3 home runs, 6 RBI, and 6 extra base hits. It's a .556 on base percentage, a .619 OBP. That's an .1841 OPS, Fritz. Harper came to life tonight, man. We talked about how that first series against Miami, you know, they won it without even getting really much at all from Bryce Harper, and tonight Bryce came through big time.
Yeah, for sure. And never a doubt either. Like, if there's ever any question marks about Bryce Harper, I mean, that Marlins series was not a Bryce series. That's a series against a Marlins team, which with a bunch of lefties that all have power stuff. And, like, I'm not going to blame Bryce for that. Tonight against Strider, like, that's a big spot. That's Strider, who, when you see the stats, the fact that he had like 281 strikeouts in 186 innings, that's really impressive. He's nasty. He's really good. That's a game where your guy, your star, has to step up at the right time. And Stock got him start off early. I mean, talk about eerily similar to game 3 last year, where a bad throwover lets Marsh go to third base. This year, a bad throwover lets the runner get in scoring position, and then Bryson Stott drives him home both times. I mean, baseball. It's the greatest sport in the world. Real quick
on that Stott thing, did you see the stat? This was great. Jason Stark had this stat out that on that Stott hit, prior to that, Spencer Strider, when he had an 0-2 count this year on hitters, batters had an .096 average with 86 strikeouts against him. Like, he was elite in 0-2 counts, and Stott got him.
But then what happened is that he faced one of the best 0-2 hitters in the count in the world.
Stott had the most 2-strike hits in baseball this year.
Because I think that if Bryson Stott, I think if you just told him, hey, let's go into this count down 0-2, I think he'd say, okay, like, that's perfectly fine. So that was a big moment. But Bryce, with that little exclamation point on top of that, and really what made me the most happy about Bryce tonight was the way he rounded the bases. Like, last year, he hit the home run in St. Louis, and it was like, this is cool. Like, the difference between Bryce this year and last year, and last year's Bryce was unbelievable, but it was like a stoic Bryce. This year, it's like, let's go win this bleeping trophy,
totally,
man.
Totally.
Like, that was the difference between this year's home run and last year's home run. And that was the hardest hit that's ever been hit off of Spencer Strider.
Wow, I didn't see that. That's wild.
115
wow.
miles an hour.
Wow.
So, I mean, I love this baseball team. I love them. I love the way they play and the way that they're just morphing into just a winning baseball team in front of our eyes. Like, James, in your entire life, which is much longer than mine, and in my entire life, when have you seen the Braves just like fold like that?
Yeah.
Like, the Braves always get the big hit. They always come through when it's like, oh, damn it, you know? And they just multiple times tonight weren't able to get that back-breaking hit. And I felt it so many times watching throughout the broadcast. Of like, okay, here it comes. And the Phillies just got out of it.
Fritz, that's why you're the best, because that was about as perfect a segue to the other thing I wanted to mention, and then we're coming to the phones. But the scenario you just laid out there, the single biggest one of those was where it looked like it was absolutely going to be a hit and an RBI and runners on first and third with one out. And then, thank you, Jack Fritz, Trey Turner with the defensive play of the season. Hit clearly his defensive play of his career as a Philly to date. Fritzy, what was going through your mind when Turner made that play?
My first thought was, wow, that was eerily similar to Rollins to Utley to clinch the 08 NLE's title.
Ooh, I like that. Totally.
Now,
yes.
Now, it was a much more difficult play. You know, because I think he had to go further to get it. But at the same time,
and Albies running to first. I know he's hit hard, but Albies is fast, man.
And Bryson Stott had the hardest recorded throw from second base to first base in baseball this year on that throw, and he whipped that thing. So what was going through my head was like, I am in such a confidence mode with this team, James, to where I wasn't surprised. I swear to God.
Like, love it.
He made the play, and I was like, of course he did, because this team has figured out how to win.
That's how we feel about the Phillies, right? That's how we've always felt about the Phillies. I love this new Phillies team, Jack. I love it. I can't get enough.
No, never. I want this to never end. They split in Atlanta, and they have – like, I'm not getting greedy. I'm not in the mindset of they got to go down and take two. But the fact that we have Zach freaking Wheeler on the mound at that place with that ballpark getting as tight as it sounded tonight with Max Fried, Mr. Blister on the mound, like, this is all – it's just setting up so perfectly for this team.
I love it. All right, 215-592-9494. We want to hear from everyone, get some reaction from Philadelphia to another Phillies win. Three playoff games, three wins, three High Hopes post-game shows, and for the third straight time, it's working. We're going to keep going. Let's start on the phones with our guy, Black Gritty. What up, O?
The Phillies taking over the world. No love. Baby,
what's
mama
up, brother?
Let me tell you something.
What?
Philadelphia is America's city. I don't care what nobody say. America's team, sport, city, Philadelphia. Liberty Bell's here. It's us. On a weekday, there's kids out till 1 o'clock in the morning standing and watching the Phillies walk off into the middle of the night. I'm watching this team down there in Atlanta talking a whole lot of stuff. Got the mascot talking trash, and nobody's in those stands. They're quiet the whole time. The loudest they got is when both catchers knew that there was a tip back. That's the loudest.
And they threw beer cans on the field. Oh, must have been Phillies fans, right?
Losers.
Losers. So embarrassing. So, I mean, I just don't hear anything about a Philadelphia. Philadelphia sports is the best in America. We are America's sports city.
Damn straight.
Now, on to Topper. Half the internet was complaining about Topper. Let Topper cook, okay? Topper last year was pushing all the right buttons like he flew a spaceship or something. And I didn't have to worry about him to the World Series. Now, when World Series comes, I might question Topper a little bit. But to get me to where we going, this is the steward of my ship. Shut up. Let my man cook, okay? He got pots, pans, got the oven going, the grill out back. My man know what he's doing, right? He about to feed everybody. And when you send the young cooker out there and he gets to do what he do, I like walking Acuña Jr. I feel like the Phillies never walk nobody. Because when he went up there to bat, all I'm thinking is, oh, man, don't let him get out. You walked him? I was actually happy he walked. So I love this team. And to end it off, because I know you guys are doing all the great X's and O's. That's a joke from Baby Mom. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. You guys are doing all the X's and O's. But let me tell you something. I will say this for the rest of my life on my deathbed. Thank you, Bryce, for choosing me. Because by coming here and the owner spending all his money, turning this team, this franchise around, I don't just love these guys. I am in love with these guys. Watching them play, watching them be together, watching them go outside of Philadelphia and do what they need to do, my goodness gracious. The Phillies are hot. It's a problem. We're about to do this Mammy Jenny thing. Red October!
Can't start off better than that. And it is, man, we've talked about it, this love affair between team and town, and now they're winning, man, and they just handle business. Fritzy, it's almost surreal, man. Like, it almost feels surreal how businesslike it's been through three games. You know, it's like you said, you've talked a lot about this. Like, last year it was like, you know, it kind of just like, wow, look at this ride we're on. And I can't believe we're still winning and all that. Like, here it just feels like they go in knowing they're going to win every game they play, it feels like.
No, they look like alphas. I mean, that's the big difference. Yeah, like, they look like alphas. And they go down. And again, we've talked so much about how the Braves always look like that team. They always look like the team that's going to have that big hit against you, that they're going to be the ones that are like delivering. And there was multiple times throughout the night where the Braves could have gotten that big hit. But let's just be honest here. The way the ballpark was, it's like they felt that at no time were the Braves going to come through for them. I mean, truly, like,
totally. You like, could tell through the TV, man.
Like, I could feel through the TV the angst and the tightness and the they're going to let us down kind of mindset, which was so, so crazy given the amount of pain that the Braves had inflicted on us.
Right.
And it's crazy. And James, like, I don't know if I'm overreacting too much to game one. But this just feels so much different than last year's series against the Braves. Like, last year's series against the Braves, it was, again, you know, Braves coming off the World Series. They're still great. The Phillies are these, like, wide-eyed, you know, kid in a candy store. You know, let's come in and see what playoff baseball is all about. Like, this was a series, and this is billed to be a series, between a Braves team looking for revenge off of last year and a Phillies team looking to cement itself as one of the best teams in the National League. And I think that's why my reaction tonight is so, so heavily, like, positive in that way, because these are two teams both on a true collision course to try to actually get back to the World Series. And what the Phillies looked like tonight was the more confident team, the team that knew they were going to make the winning play, and they looked like the team that couldn't wait to give the knockout blow to a Braves team that has just owned us for so long. And it's been forever, like most of my life, to where I wasn't able to utter that sentence about the Braves. But that's what tonight looked like. And that's why it was such an emotional big win for this baseball team.
Yeah, it's such a great point, and it makes me think of a quote that I saw prior to the game. Corey Simon put this out that Nick Castellanos said, and it just jives with exactly what you were saying. Castellanos said, quote-unquote, "We're eager and excited for this series because it's the next chapter on our journey to get a ring. I think that right now, the way we feel about each other, we're looking forward to playing anybody. honestly, it just happens to be the Braves. Like, that's their mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, they're on the way to get a ring, and whoever's standing in their way, they're happy to play them. And that is pretty awesome. 2-1.
And that's a big difference off of last year versus this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, mentality-wise, 100% agree. All right, let's go back to the phones. Go to Manny Young and talk to our guy, John. What up, Johnny?
Fellas, we just witnessed one of the best Phillies game of our lifetimes, okay? Mm-hmm. First and foremost, what did winning the division get them? What did that bye get them? A bunch of cold bats going up against this team, the hottest team in baseball. Cold bats. That's what their new name is. Not the Atlanta Braves, they're the cold bats. And they're going to stay that way. And I loved what Topper did, actually. All these talking heads, all the pundits. Oh, you know, I wouldn't have done what he did. Yeah, well, that's why you're doing that and you're not managing the Phillies, okay? He knows these players better than everybody. He knows what they look like right before they start slipping. And I'll tell you what, I think, obviously, the Orion Kirkery thing's awesome on its own self. But what a demoralization that is for the Braves. Oh, I'm sorry, the cold bats. What a demoralization it is for those cold bats. That we put up a rookie against you. In game one. And then not only that, we didn't even mind sending him back out against your reigning MVP, the first player to ever get 40 and 70 ever. We were like, yeah, we'll throw him out there. We're not worried about that. Like, and then even if he issued a walk, it's okay, we'll swap you out. We'll get you anyway. Like, that was a stiff arm into a touchdown. Like, that was a – you had Strider. We had our third. And you blew it. You blew it. And Spencer's pissed. You know he's going to spread dissent in that clubhouse. That was a devastating blow to them. And I'll tell you something right now. We're going to beat this team, and then no one's even going to come close. I don't think we drop another game until the World Series.
Oh,
I think
Johnny.
I think we're going to roll it, dude. You guys have a great show. What a freaking win.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, if you showed that game, Jack, to someone who had never watched baseball before and said, one of these two teams won 104 games and was the best team in the sport this year, unquestioned over the regular season, like, every single person would say, obviously, it's the Phillies. Like, that's the type of team they look like tonight. And, man, it's thrilling, buddy.
Well, I have to be honest. You, me, our listeners, we've watched a lot of Phillies baseball. I can pretty confidently say I've never seen the Phillies win that baseball game. like I don't think I've ever seen the Phillies win that game. It was essentially a bullpen game where the bullpen went, what, 5 1/3?
Mm-hmm.
And just of shutout baseball, the like Ranger was really good. They got big timely hits. They got out of big timely spots.
They got a 1-2-3 ninth from Craig Kimbrell, Jack.
Never a doubt. That was the most stressful baseball game I've ever experienced in my entire life.
215-592-9494. We're continuing to react to the Phillies taking a 1-0 lead in the best of 5 series against the Braves, the NLDS, as they have Zach Wheeler going in game 2 on Monday and then coming home. We will, no matter what, have 2 home games in this series.
Mm-hmm.
No, not necessarily true. That's a good point,
Jack.
Could
only be one.
What a team. What a night. We'll continue to react. 215-592-9494. It's Fritz. It's Seltzer. It's High Hopes Radio reacting to a big Phillies playoff win on Final Out. We're coming right back.
Instacart knows that some people go bananas about getting the perfect, well, banana. Some want them green. Some want them ripe. Some want them ready right when they hit their doorstep. But with Instacart's preference picker, available at most retailers, you can choose to get your groceries just the way you like. That means perfectly ripe bananas, deli meat sliced just the way you want, and avocados that aren't still hard as a puck in the third period. So don't cross your fingers and hope for the best. Download the app and get groceries just how you like with Instacart.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
And it was an awesome moment as Harper gets his first postseason home run of this run, getting going. Mm-hmm. And first of many, I'm guessing, Fritzy, the way this guy plays as, again, we're reacting to a thrilling Phillies win. Couple odd things we saw in the game tonight, too, Fritz. We'll get back to the phones in a sec. We saw a delayed steal from Trey. I feel like you never, ever see that. And then, obviously, more controversially, we may have seen a catcher's interference. We saw it called. I certainly think it was. I think when you listen to it, you could hear that double click. And Sean Murphy, the catcher for the Braves, has come out and said that he heard it as well, even if he didn't feel it. So, but that was a strange moment that ultimately led to Braves fans showing who they truly are, Jack.
Very nice. Yeah, so the catcher interference, like, even though it might not have looked like it on the replay, I mean, both players reacted
totally
at the same time, you know.
And like, JT's a catcher. Like, JT's not, like, looking to fake a catcher's interference, I don't think, you know?
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. But really, the delayed steal, which, again, I haven't seen since Little League.
Like, dude, forever, right? Like, I honestly don't remember. I know, like, in the 90s, I feel like I've seen him. I don't know. It's been a really long time.
It has been. But the way and how aggressive they were on the base pass tonight was really interesting. And I think that just shows how well in tune this team is with its coaching staff. You know, they came up with a very, you know, direct game plan. Like we're going to – when we get on, we're going to make Spencer Strider work, and we're going to try to steal bases, and we're going to be aggressive on the base paths, and we're going to go out there and just try to put some tension in the minds of Braves players. And for the most part, it worked. And I mean, Trey Turner, listen, if he's going to be a guy that only steals 30 bases, but then has, what, three steals in a game tonight? Like, I'll take that. And they were aggressive all night long on the base paths, which is something that we haven't seen from a lot from this team throughout the regular season, because they clearly saw something on tape.
Totally.
And they clearly wanted to take advantage of Strider being long to the plate and the amount of sliders that he threw. So shout out to the Phils, and that's just good game planning. And again, if a team was worried, if a team was heading into a game feeling stressed, I mean – they just went out and basically stole, what, five bases? Set
yeah,
a team record?
Team record, yep. Team, like, postseason record.
If that doesn't show you that this team is just massively confident heading into Atlanta, I don't know what does.
Yeah, well, and they tried to steal six, actually got thrown out on the first one, an unbelievable throw by Murphy, but then kept running and ended up setting a team record, like you said, for postseason stolen bases. And it just jived with the way they were all night. They were aggressive across the board. Topper managed aggressively. They were aggressive on the base paths. They just put pressure on Atlanta all night long, and it really paid dividends and led to, again, a even though it was only 3-0, it really felt like the Phillies just were in complete control of that entire game. 215-592-9494. Speaking of the game in Atlanta, how did it sound in the building? What was it like seeing the Braves fans throw the beer cans on the field? All of it. Our guy Joe Giglio down there for the game. Him and Hugh Douglas sent down. They'll be doing shows down there on Monday as well. We are going to talk to Joe next segment, coming up around 10:45. Get an in-person report from what it was like to be down there in the building for a really, you know, we had John Fermani and caller earlier say one of the great Phillies wins of all time. And, you know, I know that's a little hyperbolic, but it really was a really great Phillies win tonight. It really was.
It was a win that we haven't seen in our entire lives, you know? Like, we don't really see the Phillies win that game. Like, even game one down in Houston last year, like, that was a shocking
win.
Oh,
my God. And it was a bad, you know, they were down. They were down
exactly.
Big and came back, and then the JT homer and extras. That was
but can you I mean, listen, again, you are much more wise and experienced than I am. Can you tell me the Phillies game in the playoffs against a division rival where your starter goes four and you navigate through the rest of the game without allowing a run?
No, it's honestly, you're right. Again, and then when you take it to the next level and say, again, statistically the best offense of all time, potentially a team that had yet to be shut out at home this year, it's that much crazier,
dude.
Jack. It's like crazy,
dude. They just didn't look that imposing.
I know,
it was,
they
dude.
Didn't.
I swear to you, James. I was not afraid of anyone in that lineup tonight. I had such little confidence that they were going to come through when need be, and I have no idea why. I don't know why I felt that way, but just watching it and their body language, like Acuña, like I have been scared of Austin Riley for 4 years now. I felt nothing when he came to the plate. I felt zilch. Matt Olson might as well have been a AAA player for all I care. Like, they kept flashing 54 and 139, and I said, I don't care, dude. Like, I do not give a bleep about what Matt Olson had done this entire year. Like, those guys were not coming through. And for our entire existence, the Braves always come through. But man, am I just enjoying this little piece of real estate that it seems like the Phillies have in this Braves team's head.
Yeah, because it's so foreign to us, buddy. It is to your point. It doesn't happen, and it is it's pretty amazing to watch. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to our guy Chad in Downingtown. What up, buddy?
10 more wins, stop.
Let's go, Chad. 10 more, buddy. 10 more.
10. Oh, okay. So my blood pressure has dropped dramatically throughout this time listening to you guys, thankfully. But Jack, I agree with you. Like, it was spiking, but like, I just didn't have the full stress because I had so much confidence in this team, which is just nuts. And it's really starting to remind me of 08-09 going against the Dodgers back-to-back years. And that team just being so good on offense and me just, you know, not being able to comprehend how we were getting these outs every inning. Mm-hmm. And it just feels so good.
Yeah, I think that when you listen to us talk, to Chad, to the callers, like, it's almost like we all kind of can't believe that we have a team that's, like, just handling business like this and is playing above their heads in the most important games. And it's surreal, man. It is not the Philadelphia Phillies of our lives. Like, to your point, Chad, we've seen a couple years. I'm 42 years old, not quite as old as Jack says I am, but I'm wise. I've been around. Like, there are only a couple years of my life where I've ever felt like this about a Phillies team in terms of confidence, belief that they're going to go handle business. And, like, it's still a little surreal every time we see it.
Yeah, and then I'm so thankful for Bryce Harper. Like, I know one of your callers already said that, but just the way that this organization has completely flipped on its head is just it makes me feel so good.
Yeah, Chad, I'm with you, buddy. And to that Harper point, I'm sure you saw this, Jack. There was a Jeff Passan tweet going around tonight, but it really, you know, hits it on the head and says what we all know in Philadelphia. But Passan tweets out, Bryce Harper is 30 years old. He now has spent half his life squarely in the limelight. He is a beloved teammate, a tremendous leader, an elite player, and as clutch as anyone in the game. He is not just everything he's supposed to be, he's more. And he really is, man. I mean, it is, as it, to you know, the point Chad made to, you know, Black Gritty when he came on, the fact that, you know, the fact that Bryce Harper chose us in the first place, that this superstar came here, which never happened to us, was such an insane thing. But for him to, like shatter our expectations, which were already sky high in terms of how great he could be on and off the field, is, it's amazing, man.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's a combination of, obviously, Bryce is a great player. He's always a great player and all that stuff. But I think him getting matched up in this city just has taken his whole game to another level. I mean, down in Washington, they're in the playoffs almost every year. But the biggest Bryce Harper postseason moment you have is a home run off of, what, Hunter Strickland?
Yeah, and like the NLDS back before they had the wild card.
Yeah, and it was like a cool big home run. But, like, I think that the combination of Bryce and Philadelphia has actually gotten the best version of Bryce Harper, and it's turned him into, like, this is his home. And it's let him come up in these big moments. It's let him like play first base at a perfectly normal level.
I know,
like,
it's insane.
He looks good.
He, like, looks really good, man.
He looks legitimately good at first base, yeah. And I like that. You know, every time he gets an out, he seems really, really fired up about it.
That's great.
And I just think that the city has also gotten Bryce Harper to another level. You know, the level of accountability, the level of love, and the level of passion that we have for this Phillies baseball team. You know, I think it's allowed Bryce to truly be himself. And I feel like we're getting, like, the most real version of Bryce Harper. And, like, did I have Bryce Harper plus 420 for an anytime home run tonight? Of course I did. Because it's game one in Atlanta off Spencer Strider after a series where he did pretty much nothing. Like, that's a staple Bryce Harper moment. And he's just our guy. He is our guy, and he's just etching his way into the Phillies Mount Rushmore.
It's unbelievable. Like, to your point, I mean, he's already had arguably the biggest home run in franchise history, and now he's back doing it again another postseason, and he's only 30, and it's pretty special. Let's go to New York and talk to Dylan. Yo, Dylan.
Victory!
Let's go! Let's go!
We need to shut out the Braves. Let's go.
Damn straight, buddy.
Never a doubt.
I thought they could win tonight. I was confident. And I felt good about the game. I did not think we would shut out the Braves tonight. I did not.
For the first time all year against the best offense in baseball. Seems like a tall task.
Yeah. So we were watching the game in the same bar, almost the same spot where we were watching Game 6 of the World Series. So that fourth inning, immediately the whole bar kind of sparked this whole debate. Everybody started getting worried. They're taking out Ranger too early. And I felt like I was like one versus 100 trusting Topper in the bar. So I feel very vindicated tonight.
Good work by you, Dylan. Good work.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you look at the – I mean, you just – all I did, I took a picture of the lineup and just pointed it in everyone's face. It's righty after righty after righty. If you really want to be tempted by going with Hoffy right there, you can do it and kill the inning and just trust your bullpen. They've been a top five bullpen this year. I know there's been ups and downs. And, you know, another thing, we talk all the time about Topper being a huge righty-lefty matchup, lefty-righty matchup guy. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I feel like with this game, if you look at the hits that guys had, how many of those were righty on lefty or lefty on righty? It was like probably way above the average.
Well, it's actually been, yeah, the whole playoffs, the righties coming through against, and great call, Dylan, we appreciate it. You know, the righties coming through against the Marlins left-handed pitching in the first series. We talked a lot about that on the pod, and yeah, tonight you saw some big hits from lefties against righties. Obviously Harper, you know, with the two hits and the home run, Stott with two hits, that big hit. Like, they this lineup just, you know, it's really hard to match up against, Jack.
Yeah, and how about Stottie?
Like, what a stud, dude. Like, just what a stud.
I know. At the end of the year, I was worried. You know, his batting average had dipped to, like, 275, and just looked like he was tired. And then that last game up in New York, he went 3-for-4. And ever since then, he had the grand slam against the Marlins. Tonight, he has another back-breaking hit where, I mean, it was pretty much the same spot as it was, I don't know, what, 2 weeks ago down in Atlanta, the Castellanos catch game. Like, they're the more and more you get into postseason games, James, and more you see how the team is kind of constructed, it's like, man, like, they are a really, like, they are a dangerous freaking team, man. They're not really, like, the most regular season team, like, whatever, just get through it. But if you get into a postseason series, and we talk about this a lot, like, you turn over to the bullpen, and it's almost everyone is 96 to 100. And the way the lineup is just constructed, it all just makes sense. You know, Alec Boehm didn't have a great night tonight at all. It was probably the worst game I've ever seen Alec Boehm play.
Yeah, he was lost at the plate.
He is not usually a guy that chases out of the zone a lot. He did tonight. I'm not, like, overly concerned. I think that's just a one game kind of, you know, that's
Strider, just, and yeah,
it's one game. Yeah. It's one game. So, but everyone else, like, they're just so well built and in a good position. And Stott was a good example of that tonight.
Yeah, and then you add in the confidence, the belief in themselves, the belief in each other, the belief in their mission. Like, it's a powerful thing. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take your calls. It's a special edition of High Hopes Radio on Final Out as we continue to react to the Phillies going into Atlanta. I want to say stealing game one, but they didn't steal it. They just whooped them. They just
earned
handled
it.
Business. They just
earned
won,
it.
They won game one in Atlanta with Zach Wheeler on the hill in game two and games three and four back in Philadelphia. Four if needed. Pretty great night for the Phillies. React with us, 215-592-9494. It's High Hopes Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. We're coming right back.
Instacart makes grocery shopping easier. And just because you're not doing the shopping yourself doesn't mean you don't care how it's done. With Instacart Shopper Notes, you can get particular about what you want right in the app. Like rotisserie chicken that's extra crispy, cheddar that's sharp as your skates, and lettuce you'd actually pick yourself. Just leave a note for your shopper so they can get it right for you without having to ask. That way, you can get groceries just how you like. Download the Instacart app and shop today.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
It's High Hopes Radio. Jack Fritz, James Seltzer with you as we react on Final Out to the Phillies winning game one down in Atlanta. And Jack, you know, that play there, the fly ball to Marsh, I was watching with Emily, my wife, before coming in, and it was like this kind of thing where I was like, I knew they were going to win, especially at that point. It was like, all right, they're going to get these outs. But even when Marsh caught the ball, I was like, wait, did they really just win 3-0, like workmanlike, business-like in game one in Atlanta? Like, it still is hard to process how easy that was tonight.
Well, it was easy, but it was also the worst
at
the same time.
It was so stressful at the same time.
There's multiple times throughout the game where it was like, here it is. And, you know, Orion Kirkering, maybe the easiest inning of my entire life.
Unbelievable, dude. I mean, this kid was in high A to start the season.
Low A, sorry.
That's what I meant, low A. Unbelievable,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. And he just comes in, bang, 1, 2, 3, 7 pitches.
He's 22 years old, Jack.
7 pitches?
He's 22.
And I didn't hate Thompson putting him back out there for the eighth. You know, it was Acuna in that spot. He clearly wanted Strom on Olsen. If he gets Acuna out, then he has him for Riley. So I thought it was like obviously a big moment. I'm pretty anti putting relievers out there for a second inning after an adrenaline rush, but at that point, you know, they'd used a lot of their options. So I still trust Orion in that spot to give you a good chance against Acuna. It just happened to be that, you know, the adrenaline wasn't there, and he walked him on 4 pitches, and I thought Rob Thompson was smart to get him out there as soon as possible.
Totally agree. Like, Rob going out, letting him have that spot and then the quick hook. And look, it was a long half inning in between, too. I'm not surprised the kid, and you've talked about this so many times, usually coming into a dirty inning, but the idea of going out with all this adrenaline in such a big spot and then to have to sit on the bench for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, and go back out. It's hard to match that level of adrenaline. So, you know, I think, you know, it was smart of Topper to give him the chance, but then to be quick with the hook. And ultimately, you know, the inning ends with that Trey Turner play, which was just special stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's continue to take reactions on the phones. Let's go to media and talk to Seth. What up, pal?
My dudes, we did it. We got
Seth.
One.
What's up, buddy?
We got one, broskies. Yo, I'm telling you right now, that was the one, and you said it right, Fritz, earlier. I was saying that's the one to steal. That's the one to earn. You get Strider out of the game. You tell the rest of our own team, not forget about the Braves fans. Who cares about those trash-throwing, garbage-speaking people? They have no idea what's going on. You tell the rest of our clubhouse, this is how we're going to handle business. We're going to take our best pitcher. We're going to sit him on his butt. We're going to make him lay a big, fat goose egg, and we're going to do it with seven pitchers and a rookie who was starting in single A earlier this year. This team means business. They are dealing, and we are on our way.
Yes. Go ahead, bub.
I was going to say, we got Wheeler and then Nola. I mean, and then we're coming home. We get. Hopefully, it's only one game coming home, but it might even be two. So, I'm feeling it. I'm definitely feeling it, and I think this team is ready to go, man. I really think that, like you guys said, when Harper, it's a different look with these guys this year. They mean business. And with Harper, I really think we have. If I can make a kind of a rough analogy, we have the Kobe Bryant of MLB. This dude works his butt off harder than anybody I've seen in years. I mean, I'm 43. I remember these teams from a while ago. I remember the Phils getting served up. You're right, Fritz. Back in the day, we would have lost this game. Mm-hmm. But this isn't that kind of team. You know, we are ready to go, and we're being led by the right people. We got the right kind of coaches, the right mindset. And the fan base, I mean, how funny is it that what happened tonight with those fans is basically what we used to get blamed for?
Oh, and now, Seth, it's unbelievable and great call. Absolutely, Larry Anderson even said it on the broadcast. He was like, I hope everyone will see this and know that they're not playing this game in Philadelphia. But back to his Bryce Harper point, Jack, we talked about this on the pod. Not only does it feel like Harper is just locked in and means business, but it also, you know, I don't remember an athlete in my time in Philadelphia who like understood in the moment how important a championship was for him, for his legacy, for his whole career, like what it means for him to win a title and add that to his, you know, future Hall of Fame resume. I don't think he just means business, like normal business. I think it's more than that.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that's how he talked at the end of the season, you know, when they were celebrating after beating the Pirates, and he was very serious, and even after they beat the Marlins, and how he reacted to a lot of the big moments of just, like, snatching the baseball and being all fired up. Like, he has a singular focus, and I think what he is realizing is that this is his best chance to get the job done. And you look how everything is breaking in baseball right now. And it's the Phillies against this Braves team. The Diamondbacks are smoking Clayton
Kershaw
right now. They're
up 9-0 right now, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, I mean, it looks like, you know, assuming that, you know, it stays the Astros, similar to last year.
Here we go.
The only of the four home teams that won. You know, it's like, okay.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah, like, it's kind of breaking right for him. And I think he just I think he just feels it. I think he feels that at this current time, like, this is – you only have so many chances to win a championship. And the way that he's playing right now is certainly – you know, he's got his eyes on the right thing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Ryan in Morristown. Hey, Ry.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Ry. I mean, how could we not be tonight, pal?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy for you guys. I mean, I hear you. If you're talking about Bryce Harper, I remember listening to the Bryce Harper emergency
My
pod.
Man.
Oh, wow. What a throwback.
Yes, Ryan.
I mean, you guys sounded like little, like third graders.
We got did.
You over. And, it was amazing. And, you know, I've been a listener longer than that. And, you know, you deserve this night. And I was also thinking, you know, when they pulled Ranger Suarez, the only reason I didn't shake my head and go, what the hell is going on? Because I listened to the post game of the pregame, and you guys actually came up with that scenario. You mm-hmm. said maybe it'll be a 3-4 inning Ranger yep. game and then a bullpen because yep. we get all these fresh arms.
Yep. Yeah, we did. And just getting through the lineup once. Ryan, thanks for listening, man. Those are
Appreciate
some deep
you,
cuts.
Ryan.
Yeah, dude.
Absolutely. Love you guys. And I will say one thing.
Yeah.
I could see a WIP topic this week. who has assembled a more a deeper roster, Howie Roseman or Dave
DeBrasi?
215-592-9494.
Hey, Ryan, great call, man. Seriously, it's great to talk to you. We really appreciate it. And, like, seriously, you know, that's something where, you know, we've talked a lot this run about the players, and rightfully so, and about Rob Thompson, and rightfully so, and about the fans, and certainly rightfully so. I think the guy we need to remember to give more and more credit to is Dave Dombrowski, obviously with Middleton as well. But you know what Dombrowski has done here, putting together both a World Series winning caliber roster. Obviously, they almost did it last year. They're looking to do it again. But also, you know, we've talked about this a ton, but just establishing a winning culture here,
yep,
both on the field and off the field and in the front office and the whole thing, Jack. It is, you see what we have seen the last couple years from Dombrowski. It's like, oh, that's why this guy's a Hall of Famer and is considered one of the great GMs in the history of the sport. Like, he is fantastic at his job.
Yeah, and this is all we ever asked for, you know, like just, you know, figuring out who's a winner, who's not a winner, and how they can help the ball club. And whether it's down to Garrett Stubbs being the, like, emotional leader behind the scenes and the hype guy, like, that stuff matters. In a 162-game season, you need those guys to be able to carry you through. But knowing that Trey Turner could play in this city, and, yeah, did it take, you know, the fans getting behind him to really get him going? But looking at how he's played ever since, I mean, his reaction to...
I'm happy you brought that up, Jack, to the double play.
It was amazing.
It was the most emotion we've seen from him yet.
Yeah, because it was a big moment in a big spot. But, you know, they just have they have such a different look compared to the amount of Phillies teams that we've seen for a majority of our lives. And I think a lot of that is Dombrowski. I think it's signing a Kyle Schwarber last year. Mm-hmm. It's knowing a Nick Castellanos better than everyone in baseball, yep, knew Nick Castellanos, to knowing Trey Turner can handle the season. I mean, the big question, or the big miss, I guess, for Dombrowski was the Taijuan Walker Lorenzen spot. But at the same time, when Chris Sanchez develops the way that he did, and Ranger Suarez, I mean, it can't be lost on us the way that Ranger pitched tonight.
Totally. You know,
had the bullpen not been completely fresh and an off day and a Wheeler in game two, I had, like, if he kept Ranger in at that spot, I think Ranger gets out of it. I think Ranger was good enough tonight to pitch 6-7 innings. Like, I thought he looked completely dialed in, and it's so fun right now to look at the way Zach Wheeler pitches, to look at the way that Nola's pitched in, like, big clinching kind of games, and Ranger as, like, oh bleep, like, these teams have to face those three in big spots. So it's so refreshing to see a team morph into a bunch of winners against a team that we all have envied as a bunch of winners for so, so long. But the Phillies went down there tonight, and they just looked like a bunch of alphas.
All right. We were about to get out of here, but one last treat before we get out of here is he's here. Our guy was down there for the action in Truist Park, got to see firsthand the Phillies' fantastic performance tonight, the less fantastic performance of both the Atlanta Braves and their fans, and to get a report on it all, our guy Joe Giglio down there. Joe, how you doing, pal?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm doing much better than most people here in Atlanta, because that was a joke by that fan base tonight.
So take us inside, man. Like, you know, obviously we'll get to the game itself, but the experience of being down there, both from what it was like for the energy of the game to obviously the embarrassment of a moment with the beer cans being thrown on the field, what was the Truist Park experience like?
So I can tell you this, just from before the game, and then as the game began, they're nervous. I mean, you can just tell. Like, just talking to people, like, they have a healthy respect for the Phillies, which is obvious. I mean, they're two good teams; they play each other a lot. But you could just tell, like, yeah, they didn't really want to play the Phillies here. And then the game gets going, and you know, they're not scoring any runs. So then they're on pins and needles, because, like, well, we haven't scored yet, and they're leaving people on base. It was a weird vibe from their crowd. Like, they're nervous about this series. And in that moment when the interference happened and then they're throwing stuff on the field, it was bad. I mean, you got half the people are like almost cheering on what they're doing, and then half the people are like, oh, God, like they're embarrassed of the whole thing. And something like this happened, what was it, like 10 years ago, that first wild card year, the 2012, when they played the Cardinals, they were throwing trash on the field. So it's not the first time, but it was definitely an atmosphere of a crowd that is on edge about this series, and with good reason.
Do we need to send you to every single game one the Phillies are in? I mean, you're on a pretty impressive run right now. Now, the overalls, were they broken out for this game?
I'm still in them. I just got back to the hotel.
Strong work by you. Well done.
I am still in them. For the most part, people just kind of laughed and nodded along. A couple people had some things to say, but yes, I have the overalls on and still do.
What was so let's get to the game itself, Joe. Being in the ballpark, your thoughts, I think, you know, the big story, at least in the moment in the game, was Topper's decision to remove Ranger at that spot and then obviously go bullpen game the rest of the way. What did you think in the moment about Topper's decision, and how did it feel in the ballpark when that decision was made?
So it felt too early. I mean, that was my first thought, like, wow. I mean, and I think we all had a sense that he was going to do something like that with the off day tomorrow, like that he was going to be super aggressive with his bullpen. It just felt, for me, it felt an inning too early. I mean, I guess you can't choose when the pocket of the lineup's coming up that you want to use Hoffman for, so you just have to kind of pivot and go with it. But it felt an inning too early, and I'm sitting there trying to count down the outs. Like, how is he going to get enough outs to finish this game? And then he did it. And so, like, the more I played it out in my head as it went on, I think we all questioned it. But I'm at the point now, guys, where I just have to stop questioning Rob Thompson in October. I mean, I know we go back to Game 6 of the World Series last year, but that was one move. I mean, what is it? Like, he's made 100 moves besides that in the playoffs, and almost every single one has worked out really in the Phillies' favor. He has this amazing touch with this team, and I couldn't believe that it was Strom in the eighth inning, and that worked. And then Kimbrel with a pretty flawless ninth as well. So it worked. I was skeptical, but Rob Thompson knows what he's doing here.
Yeah, and I guess, like, is this going to be something that we see going forward? Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, Ranger's going to pitch game four. Is this going to be something we get again? Does he trust Ranger more? Because, I mean, you saw Sir Anthony look like he took a step forward tonight. Alvarado was kind of just Alvarado. But, like, you see Kirkering emerge as a potential guy here. I mean, maybe we see this going forward as you have Wheeler, Nola, and then kind of just a mishmash, like, let's find a way to win a ball game kind of a deal here every third day.
Maybe it is, Jack. And, you know, other than Wheeler, because he's just obviously so good, maybe it is a good strategy against this Braves team. And this, I know tonight they didn't do anything, but obviously it's an all-time great offense. Maybe the way to slow them down is just throw a bunch of different arms at them, because if they get the same look at the same guy, you would think they're eventually just going to tee off on whoever they see other than Wheeler. So maybe we see this. I mean, I would think on Monday Wheeler would get a normal start, and, you know, whatever he can give, he gives. But maybe we see this in game four. Who knows? If Nola isn't as sharp as he was last week, maybe we see something like this in game three too, where it's like the fifth inning and he comes to get him because he just wants to throw different looks at them. Whatever it is, if they can limit this team, and I was shocked they shut them out tonight, but if they can limit them to a normal amount of runs, they're going to win this series.
Joe, how insane is Bryce Harper? I mean, that's a pretty leading question, but I mean, he is continuing to put together just an all-time Philly resume and etching his stone in the all-time Phillies Mount Rushmore.
The thing that just amazes me, Jack, is he just continues to exceed expectations. Like, he's obviously done it for his career, which is pretty amazing considering he was considered to be, like, the best prospect we've ever seen, and he's been better than that. And then it just, if you take me back to when we were doing the old evening show and trying to make sure the Phillies got this guy and talked about him, if you had told me that this is what his career would be here, I would have taken something less. I would have said, yeah, I mean, he's probably not going to be that good, probably not going to be that clutch. But I would have just said he's going to be super, super good for the Phillies. He's even exceeded the expectations I think we all had when he signed here, which was to be, you know, one of the best players in baseball and to be a kind of a franchise cornerstone. He's even more than that. I mean, it's just, I think I saw a stat as I was in the Uber heading back to the hotel that No one's ever hit a ball harder off of Spencer Strider, mm-hmm. which is just pretty remarkable, because I feel like that one we saw last year in Citizens Bank Park was pretty hard by Reese. So there's something about these playoffs against Strider where they hit the ball hard off him. But it's he's incredible. He's a Mount Rushmore guy, and we just need to get him a ring now.
Yeah, yeah, and I was talking about it before, but for him, a ring just really matters from a legacy perspective, and it obviously be super cool to see him have it here. All right, one more for us, Joe, before we let you get out of here, and enjoy the win in Atlanta tonight. What a good time. Last question. Set the scene for us. Game two down there, Wheeler on the hill. Do you expect, this Braves team kind of folded a bit tonight, really didn't fight. Do you expect a different Braves team on Monday night?
And, James, they folded last year, I thought, in Game 4, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Phillies went up 2-1 last year on the Hoskins-Homer game, I fully expected a Game number 5.
Totally.
I just thought they'd bounce back.
But then Marsh hit that homer, and it was, like, done.
Yep, and they had the Acuna play where it was the JT inside the park, and it just felt like they quit. And, they just had a bad night offensively. I'm not sure they quit yet, but I think this game coming up on Monday is going to tell us if they're going to roll over and die, or we're going to have a series here. Because if they lose on Monday, it's over. Like, they're not coming back. They're not going to Philadelphia winning two and bringing it back here. So I think Monday night will be the tell. My guess is they're going to hit a little bit, because it's just hard for me to imagine that an offense this good would just go totally blank for two straight games. So it's going to be on the Phillies' bats to hit again. But I tell you what, just watching those two teams tonight, it just feels like one team is on a mission and the other team is very skeptical of who they are right now.
Yeah, what a good way to put it. I love that. All right, Joe, thanks for joining us. Everyone, obviously, check out Joe and Hugh on Monday. They'll be down there doing the show.
Yeah, how was Hugh tonight? Was Hugh rooting for the Braves? Or was who was he rooting for tonight?
Nah, he was rooting for the Phillies. But you could tell he was a little bit – when the Phillies started pulling away, he's like – I think he's starting to feel it now. Like, he's starting to feel it. The Phillies thing is a real thing in October now.
Welcome home, Hugh. We love it. All right. Good. Well, Joe, have fun down there. I'm sure we'll hear you on the station again over the next couple of days prior to Monday as well.
You got it, guys. Talk to you.
All right. See you, buddy. Awesome, awesome stuff to report from down there. All right, Fritzy, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, first, Jillian and I will be on tomorrow after
look at this.
Yeah, after the London game.
Love it.
So, London game into countdown to kickoff, because I guess there's a football game tomorrow.
What's football?
Exactly. I've been saying that for years. So, that'll be a good time. But, yeah, it was just a shocking win down there tonight. I'm trying to look through my last little notebook here. For the amount of times that I felt like the Phillies could have broken that game open and they didn't, the fact they still won was shocking to me. I know this is going to be like the most nitpicky thing on the entire postgame show, but the 0-2 pitch to Eddie Rosario in like the sixth inning or whatever drove
the
me
pinch
nuts
hit.
For a long time.
It's pretty nitpicky.
Like, come on, Sir Anthony. Yeah. Like, can you spot a fastball for me one time?
Struck out the side, though.
Dude, Sir Anthony, again, we talked about it. Like, he's looked better recently because he's finally not trying to just be a command guy. He's just going to be Sir Anthony. So I was happy to see that. What the hell was Spencer Strider yelling at Rick Kranitz for?
I don't know. It was so weird. It made no sense in the moment.
It really didn't. That's kind of all I had. We kind of touched on everything else that I had written down. But overall, like, they went down there, they looked like the tougher team. They looked like the, I don't know, just more ready to be there team. And I can't buy into the excuse of you had 5 days off. So, it's harder to get energized.
Yeah, it didn't stop the Astros.
It never stops the Astros.
Exactly.
Exactly. They're just a machine.
Yeah.
So, they went down there, they took care of business. Worst case scenario is that we'll have a chance to clinch at home. Best case scenario is that we have our ace on the mound on Monday night with a bullpen. Like, sure, did a lot of guys go tonight? Yeah. But at the same time, none of them are overworked at all.
Yeah, they all went an inning or less, and they have an off day,
Totally.
So, yeah.
So that's a really good spot. I was of the mindset of I'm not going to go down there and get greedy. But dude, I think Wheeler shoves on Monday.
Get a little greedy.
I think Wheeler shoves on Monday, and we head back here up 2-0, and I can't freaking wait for it. I can't freaking wait for it.
Buddy, another celebration down at Citizens Bank Park, baby. I'm feeling good too. And look, I you know, that's what we all said. Take one down there. They already did it. Like, we can watch a game on Monday night with our ace on the hill with a chance to put our foot on the other team's throat. And that is that's thrilling, man. It certainly takes some of the nerves away from that one. So it's going to be awesome. Obviously, Fritz and I will be back post-game Monday night reacting to that game. So definitely stick with us. Ricky Ricardo is going to be coming up next. If we didn't get to you on the phones, I apologize. Stick here. Ricky will be taking calls, obviously reacting to the Phils. Thank you to everyone who called in. We couldn't do the show without you. Thank you to Fran, Francisco Reyes, Rojas, excuse me, producing for
the
us.
The number one Rojas,
yes,
in the city.
That's
not
right.
Not Johan.
But we appreciate it. And Fritzy, what a night, buddy. What a night.
Man, I am. I.
Let's
just
go.
I'm so giddy. So giddy. Get me to Monday night. And again, I mean, I guess it'd be nice if the football team won tomorrow, but really, let's just lock in for Monday.
Yeah, Monday is what matters most. Tomorrow's almost like an exhibition. We'll just hang out and watch some Eagles.
Exactly.
And then we'll ratchet it back up Monday night. So it's going to be awesome. Stay here. Ricky Ricardo's got you next. He's going to be talking Phils as well. And Fritz and I will be back Monday night reacting to the Phillies game 2 against the Braves after a thrilling game 1 win tonight. So again, thank you for everyone for listening to a special edition of High Hopes Radio right here on Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.